You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Mail carriers across the country have been rallying to protect their jobs and protest the privatization of the U.S. Postal Service. Joining me now to discuss their concerns are American Postal Workers Union Local 164 President Don Hoffroggy, Branch 43 of the National Association of Letter Carriers President Ted Thompson, and Cincinnati AFL-CIO Labor Council Executive Secretary and Treasurer Brian Griffin. Thank you all so much for being here today.
Thank you very much, Lucy.
Ted, what concerns you most about what you're hearing from this administration as it relates to the U.S. Postal Service?
I think the largest concern right now is the uncertainty, because there's so many different rumors or proposals, backdoor conversations going on that you can't really prepare for or expect what this administration will potentially do through any form of an executive action that can happen overnight.
What about you, Don?
Basically the same thing like Ted just said. We don't know where they're going. We don't know what their end game is and what they're trying to achieve, other than obviously selling off the most lucrative parts of the Postal Service to make a whole lot of billionaires a lot richer at the cost of the service to the American people.
Tell me a little bit more about that selling off part. I bet a lot of people aren't familiar with what you're talking about there.
If they privatize, what they want to do is sell off the most lucrative parts of the Postal Service.
Which are which parts?
Your metropolitan areas, your big cities. That's where the most money is made with the Postal Service. But the Postal Service is just that, is a public service. I don't care whether you live in the most densely populated city or in the most barren part of the desert or an igloo in Alaska. Every American is guaranteed the right under the Constitution to have that same service, where you can put a stamp on that letter and get the same service at the same cost. If they sell off that more lucrative part, what will be left, instead of being a no cost to the taxpayers of this country, now it's going to be a burden on the taxpayer. And on top of being a burden to the taxpayer, it's going to cost anywhere from 30 to 140 times more to be able to do the same things you're doing now.
Brian, there have been rallies across the country protesting these possible cuts and this privatization idea, the rallies including in Ohio, Kentucky, and Indiana. Do you think talks about cutting the Postal Service hit people differently than some of these other government cuts that we've been seeing?
I think it's incumbent upon us to make the story known just how many ways these various different agencies will impact personal life. I mean, if you're talking about things that are going on within the VA, I mean, there are veterans. These are the folks that we have a solemn oath with. I mean, those are the folks that have made a promise to defend our nation and literally be willing to give up their lives for us to keep us safe and free. The idea that we wouldn't somehow or another be able to figure out how to fix that. But then you come to every other federal agency, and of course, the USPS, Don's point about it being a service is something that goes all the way back to Benjamin Franklin, frankly. You know, we're older than the American flag. This service that is provided is what differentiates the United States from many other places around the world, but certainly the first world nations have these services. It was never meant to be a profit center, although it is now profitable. It was profitable in the first quarter of this year. There's a lot of different ways that these impacts are going to negatively impact everybody's personal lives, and I think all of these different impacts will probably make the point better than anything else will, but our fear is that might be too late to put Humpty Dumpty back together again.
We're talking with union leaders about the Trump administration's approach to the U.S. Postal Service. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Don, you were just talking about privatization, and I think you explained very well what your concerns are there. Have there already been job cuts locally when it comes to the USPS?
They've not come up with open cuts like they have with so many other federal agencies, but we did just have an early retirement, and the reports I've gotten from our national leadership, the American Postal Workers Union, who we represent, the clerks, maintenance, and motor vehicles, little over 8,700 nationwide. And at this time, they're not talking about backfilling those positions, which is going to cripple how we can provide service, which is just another way for them to point fingers and say, look, we're not doing it efficiently enough.
8,700 out of how many?
We have over 600,000 people nationwide. The Postal Service is the second largest employer in the country. And these are good, solid, union-paying jobs. I mean, postal workers are not millionaires, but we're the people every day that are out there buying homes, buying new cars, keeping the economy moving. And if they want to put us all out of work, who's going to do that?
Ted, what about for mail carriers? Have there been cuts locally, or there early retirements locally that are having an effect?
No, there is a shortage of staffing for letter carriers. So generally speaking, when the early retirements are brought forth or proposed by the Office of Personnel Management, they are for positions that they believe that they could eliminate due to whatever cause, a closure, overstaffing in a certain demographic area. And in those cases, the employees are offered the early retirement. And then, like Don said, they're not looking to fill those positions. But for letter carriers, we already don't have enough in the city of Cincinnati. And there's nothing they can cut, because by cutting carriers, it's just cutting days of delivery.
Well, I was going to ask both of you that question. I mean, there's a lot of talk at the federal level about waste and inefficiencies and trying to make government agencies more efficient. Are there any jobs that you think could be cut from the U.S. Postal Service that would increase efficiency but wouldn't affect the amount of time it takes for mail to get delivered? Is there any fat there to be cut, do you think?
I think in any agency, there's positions that you could look at. Now, as far as, you know, fraud or things of that nature, no. But when you're looking at potential inefficiency, sure. To me, there's a lot of management positions that could be abolished out there, where you have someone from LaFont Plaza that goes to somebody in Central, that goes to somebody in District, that goes to somebody in Local, that goes to two other people in Local, that goes to, in the city of Cincinnati, 17 offices that we have, and that goes down to people. And when you really look at it from a carrier perspective, we have GPS on us all day long. And there's people that are paid to do nothing but sit down and watch where we're going. If we sit for 11 minutes when it was only supposed to be a 10-minute break, we have questions on why we sat for that extra minute. And it's really historically been the job of the supervisor and the managers in those offices to watch that, and they don't. Another area of concern for letter carriers is, while safety is always important, I don't want to ever undermine the importance of safety, but when you have a dozen people in one building that work for safety that do nothing but drive around and try to see if a carrier doesn't have their wheels curbed or their side door wasn't closed when they went in to deliver to a business that takes 15 seconds. In those instances, it serves no value. I've always lived or thought under the premises of, if an employee doesn't save an organization more money than what they're compensated in a management position, it's purposeless. Mm-hmm. So in situations like that, there's definitely cuts that could be made. But when it gets down to the craft, there's really no fat to cut. Again, we don't have enough letter carriers in Cincinnati to, you know, deliver your mail before 10 p.m. sometimes. So there is no cuts to the craft of letter carriers.
What do you think, Don?
I'm in the same boat with Ted. There is no cuts to be made with the craft people. I worked 37 years on the workroom floor in maintenance the whole time, working on the machines at the main office, and they just keep cutting positions time after time. Well, that means instead of doing four machines like we used to, they're doing six and seven. So the machines aren't being maintained as well. They're not able to then sort the mail to get it out to the carriers properly. And the same thing when you look, go to your local post offices. You know, there's not enough clerks there because they won't backfill these positions when people retire. You can make any statistic, you can finagle it however you want to make it look like, oh, look, we're overstaffed. But at the end of the day, after they tell us we're overstaffed, they're standing back in the back room screaming at us, why can't you get this work done? And don't you dare work 1 minute overtime. Mm. You can't have it both ways. In the Postal Service, why are these clerks? We should be doing more. They should be hiring more. There's so much more we could offer the public. They talk about efficiency. Why aren't we doing, we could do so much work that for the DMV. We could do things, hunting, fishing licenses, park passes, notary services. These are things that when you come in to do your normal banking business, that could all be done right there. And a lot of these things used to be done, and it's been taken away over the years.
We do have a caller on the line. Hi, Holly. Thanks for calling. What's your question or comment?
Well, my comment is that I might as well have a U.S. Postal shirt on right now because I go back to my childhood and go back to the town that I lived in before. Even the buildings are pretty much the same when you go from one town to another. And they have been trying to privatize the U.S. Postal Service for as long probably as I can remember. They have been trying to privatize Social Security. They've been trying to privatize just almost everything that we've ever had that was great for everybody. And right now I'm fighting a big battle myself, and it happens to be with a fiduciary that was appointed to my husband, who is in a nursing home with dementia. And I'll tell you what, it only takes a few things to try to bring your house down. And one of the best tools I have right now to fight in my toolbox is the U.S. Postal Service, because I can get certified letters, I can send money orders, I can do all these things, and you know what? There's not one thing they can do to touch it. Mm. It's legal. So that is so important to me right now. And thank God for the U.S. Postal Service. They are one of the greatest gifts that we've got in this country.
Thank you, Holly. I think you've really touched the hearts of our union folks here in this room. Thank you so much for that call. We appreciate it. Thanks for listening. You know, Holly mentioned that this talk of privatization has been happening for years and years and years. I want to run this by you. This is kind of a devil's advocate position. I talked recently with a postal customer who lives in a rural community. He said he gets packages and deliveries from UPS, FedEx, all those places. And he said, I'd be willing to pay more to get better service from the U.S. Postal Service. In other words, he thinks privatization could be good for a customer like him if he's willing to pay more. What do you think of that position, Don?
I'm a person that lives in a rural area myself. And what most people don't realize is the Postal Service does the bulk of the moving of those packages and stuff that UPS and FedEx gets to your door. They only take it that last little piece. We're doing the rest of it for them. And we are the anchor that keeps them as low a price as they are. And they've already done reports, and their executives, when I say there, I mean U.S. UPS and FedEx and those folks, they are salivating over the privatization of the Postal Service because they have openly stated exactly what I said earlier. That is a way, if we're not there to maintain and to keep the prices down, minimum a 30 and as much as 140% increase. You want to pay 140% more, I guess that's up to you. It makes no sense to me. It'll get even higher because the Postal Service won't be there to do that bulk of moving those packages. We save them so much, the customer, so much money, even when those other entities get involved. They don't realize it. And the worst part, again, right now, order something online. Postal Service, it might cost you $6, $7. UPS will be close to $18, $19. FedEx will be over 25. And we're doing the bulk of that. They're putting it all in profit. The Postal Service was never set up to be a profitable entity. It was supposed to be a break-even set up to where nobody in this country had to be taxed on it, and we're not. We've not taken 1 cent from the taxpayers. We're no burden to the taxpayer, but at the same time, we provide that service so every taxpayer, every person gets their packages and their letters delivered for the same cost.
Yeah. Let's talk more about that. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, just to add to that, what a lot of people don't understand or recognize, as an independent agency that's was moved under the Postal Reorganization Act from the executive branch, was designed to depoliticize it, but yet still fulfill our commitment for the American people. So the Postal Service has a board of governors that oversees the operations, but there's also the Postal Regulatory Commission. And the Postal Regulatory Commission sets rates, whether that's for packages, parcels, stamps, certified letters, any of the like. And if you were to get rid of the Postal Regulatory Commission, then any of our other competitors, if you will, the FedExes, the UPSs, the Amazons of the world, now don't have to compete with us. Because for order for them to compete with us, they can't raise their shipping rates much more than what our shipping rates are right now. Otherwise, they're going to lose revenue to the post office. You get rid of that regulatory commission that makes them compete with us, you're going down a road of an unknown there.
We have some callers on the line. Let's hear from Kent. Hi, Kent. Thanks for calling. What briefly, what is your question or comment?
I work for FedEx, and I was in lower middle management. And as we were pursuing trying to get extra stops and productivity out of our employees, we were facing safety concerns. I could just about tell you one driver was going to have a knee replacement. My approach, and I turned it around on executive management, is we have far too much management, just like the gentleman mentioned before. And we were able to go ahead and pursue a 30% downsizing of management because these silos just get created chasing quality numbers that don't add value to the customer or the service.
Mm. Yeah, I'm having there's some heads nodding in agreement here with you in the studio, Kent. Thanks so much for that call. We appreciate that. We also have Deb on the line. Hi, Deb. Thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
Well, I'd like to applaud the idea of diversifying the services offered by the post office. There are all kinds of things that can be thought of, and there's good reason to do it. Structural changes in the way we communicate are taking packages out of the hands of the post office and even out of the hands of UPS and FedEx. I deal with insurance contracts, and I used to spend $50 or $60 a month mailing. And now I can encrypt all of those and send them online, and in seconds they're across country where they need to be reviewed by the insurance companies. These are big changes. You will have, fewer tons of the traditional kind of messaging to get about. So adding Xerox machines, faxes, telecommunications, even in some rural areas, as Lindsey Graham once suggested, coffee machines and the like. Yeah. There are a lot of ways to make post offices central to their communities.
Sorry about that, Deb. Thank you so much. We appreciate your calling in with those thoughts. I want to get back to this idea of a profit center, because President Trump has talked repeatedly about how much money the post office loses and how we need to turn that around. Brian, you mentioned that you said the post office actually was profitable this quarter. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, basically, it's a fact that's been a part of a plan that's been in place for a while. And the first quarter of this year posted, I can't remember exactly the number, maybe Don, but it was like
$144 million.
$144 million in profit in this first quarter. So there's something working. There's something working right. But one of your callers just mentioned something that I think is actually even a broader issue. And yes, we're here for the USPS today. But at the same time, when you look at the cuts that are likely coming to USPS and you see where they've already come with health research the money for NIOSH, all of the different ways that workers across the board remain safe are being cut. There are estimated to be already upwards of 100,000 cuts that are in place. There are upwards of 300,000 cuts coming, and that's just according to the earliest estimates from DOGE. But where's the plan? What is it supposed to look like? Where are they finding these efficiencies? And how much money are they looking to save? What are going to be the rippling effects of that? I don't know if this would go differently if they would at least get into an honest, transparent discussion with the public about it, instead of just having, you know, an eccentric clown run around a stage with a chainsaw. That's not planning, and it's also terrible public relations. So profitability is here. It's no longer an issue about whether or not the U.S. Postal Service has the ability to fend for itself. So there has to be something else that's actually going on here. Why would you want to break it up and sell it off if it wasn't for the fact that there are a lot of folks who have the portfolio to be able to purchase it and make a lot of money on it, all at the expense of the people of America, and especially for the one person who said they lived in a rural community and that they would like to see more efficiencies? Those folks got a real rude awakening coming, because the rural areas are going to suffer the worst from this.
Absolutely.
And we've only got about a minute left. I want to, whoever wants to answer this, how can people make their voices heard if they're worried about this, if they're worried about their postal service, their delivery?
You have to contact your congressmen and senators. Tell them we do not want the Postal Service sold, and let them know we're not going to stand for it. And if they don't start acting now, maybe they're the ones that need to be looking for a job in a couple of years.
And maybe since we're here on the air, we could ask a few of the representatives and senators to actually come out of hiding.
Please.
And take some town halls and talk to some
people. Come
to
our union meetings. We're open to all of them. Come and talk to us.
The idea of being a representative is that you are representing. And if you never show up, and if you never have dialogue, if you never get input, you're not representing anything but somebody's interest other than the ones that put you there.
Well, I've been talking with American Postal Workers Union Local 164 President Don Hofragi, Branch 43 of the National Association of Letter Carriers President Ted Thompson, and Cincinnati AFL-CIO Labor Council Executive Secretary and Treasurer Brian Griffin. Thank you all so much for your time today.
Thank you for having us here. We appreciate it.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Harper Carlton. Technical director is Marshall Verbsky. I'm Lucy May. Thanks so much for listening.